The important question is, do you have a recipe for apple dew stew?
You know, I don't. Maybe I'll come up with one, but no, not right now.
Makes me really wonder how that would taste like. Is it super sweet or?
It's just apple pie, but without the crust. You just dump apple pie in a bowl and call it stew.
Oh, God. That's very sinful.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you're limited on resources, you do what you can. Hello, and welcome to episode 133 of Rhythm Encounter, the RPG fan music podcast. I'm your host, Mike Salvato, and today we are going to talk about cooking. We'll get into the topic in just a second, but first let me introduce my panel of potential chefs. First off, we have Tin.
Hi.
Hello. Audra is here with us.
Hello.
And rounding out our kitchen staff today is Jimmy.
Hello.
Hello. Happy to have you all here. As I'm sure everyone listening has already figured out, we are talking about music to cook to. Although, just before the show, we were all talking about this amongst ourselves about what that means for this episode. You know, is this something stuff we have cooked to or want to cook to? Or is it music used in games related to cooking? There's a few different ways we can go with this since we came up with the topic. So I figured we'll just, without getting into too many track details, because obviously we'll do that in a little bit, but I wanted to go around quickly and ask everyone, you know, how they landed on their picks and, you know, what inspired your choices and have you cooked to them? So let's start with Audra.
Oh, yeah. Well, my cooking is pretty much similar to, it's an activity that I like to do while I'm singing poorly. So I pick tracks with catchy lyrics and vocals.
I have a feeling if you're doing it frequently, you are not singing poorly. Maybe that's how it started one day. But if you do it enough, I bet it's better than you're giving yourself credit for.
Aw, thank you.
How about you, Jimmy?
So for me, cooking is kind of like almost an escape. Like I have busy household, just a lot of stuff going on. So cooking is kind of my chill time where I can really just focus on doing a task. So I think my tracks kind of reflect the mood that I like to have in my kitchen, and they're usually they're part of a playlist that I usually have playing when I'm in there.
Nice. So you have like a whole kitchen playlist?
Absolutely.
Shoot, why have I not done that? Okay, I might have to make that in the near future. How about you, Tin?
Well, for me, I don't really have a particular cooking playlist. It really depends on my mood for that day, but I'd say majority of them are pretty upbeat, and in the hopes that it would kind of help my mood while I'm cooking, so the food won't be bad or something.
It'll inspire you.
Yeah, and so that's probably the song picks I brought today are pretty upbeat and also a bit relaxing as well.
Yeah. So mine are a little bit different, I guess, because the two I have today are not ones I have used in the kitchen, but I could. One of them, and I'll get to it when we get to it. One of them probably has been, only because there's some albums that tend to make their way into our rotation when we are cooking. And I'm pretty sure that one's come up. But yeah, might have to make a specific kitchen playlist. I mean, sometimes we'll do, you know, Apple Music. Apple Music has like cooking playlists and stuff and have done that. But I think I need an RPG or at least a video game kitchen playlist too. All right. Well, why don't we get into this topic today? So our first block is going to be Jimmy and Audra. So Jimmy, what are we starting out with?
So my first track is a pretty well-known one, I would say, for RPG fans. It's Balam Garden from Final Fantasy VIII.
All right, that's a solid choice. Speaking of incredibly well-known music, Audra, what is your first one?
My first track is Vital Signs, Universes theme from Invincible Presents, Adam Eve.
All right. I hope you're prepared to tell a lot of our listeners what that is. I know what it is, but I feel like one of these games is a little more well-known than the other. So
slightly.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's go listen to Balham Garden and Vital Signs, Universes theme. Thank you.
So yeah, it's pretty well known from a pretty well known game for amongst the RPG crowd. But really, why I picked it is because I'm actually playing through Final Fantasy VIII again, the remaster on my Switch, and I've spent quite a bit of time in this location just playing cards, you know, trying to overpower myself so I can fly through the game later. And this track has basically been living in my head for almost the better part of a month now. And so it also fits that, you know, kind of low key, relaxing kitchen vibe. So it's on my playlist and it's just constantly in my head. And I just couldn't believe that it had never been on the podcast before. So I thought this was the perfect time to bring it to the table.
I agree. It is an awesome track, and I think it's really fits for the theme.
Yeah, you know, if we were planning on like structuring this episode around like the order of a meal, like if we did like appetizer and meal and dessert, I'd almost put this one last. I didn't think that hard on the track order, but it might have gone last because it feels like a really cool like chill song to play for making a dessert. But then I realized. Or remember that a lot of people say it's like, you know, you should eat dessert first. So really, I can't lose. It works at the beginning or the end. But, you know, a lot of people have come around on Final Fantasy VIII in recent years, which is not a controversial statement, I think, at this point. Especially since, I mean, look at the reaction of people who wanted that remaster. But I was around back when it came out in 99, and it was... The reception was not quite as positive then. It was just, it's a very strange game in a lot of ways, and definitely not what people expected. But like, regardless of any of that, like, you know, for me, something that never really wavered is how great the soundtrack is. Like, it is one of the stronger soundtracks in the series for me anyway. And, you know, this is one of the first songs you hear and one of the first ones on the soundtrack. And I really like, you know, the 8's aesthetic of like sci-fi, modern, and like just the weird way it blends all these different things together, I think is really fascinating. And I feel like this song is a really good choice for just the world that it's in, and like the gardens being these like sort of spaceship things, but they have like a lot of like trees and nature in there, and like just the way it blends things together. I don't know, it really fits that idea of this like floating garden and just the mix of things that it represents.
Yeah, I would agree. Like I also can't imagine if another song is playing in this location, because this track is just really perfect for the place in the game. So even the very first time I heard this a long time ago, and when it was my brother playing, it also made me pause for a bit, and it made me think, how was this track created? And there's also this part in the song, like probably like after a minute and a half, where it plays, I'm not even sure if it's like exactly recorded with harmonica, but there's that tune in the song that really sounds so good.
Yeah, that part where it transitions to that's probably what I would call it too. The harmonica sound that's probably my favorite part too.
Yeah, and if connecting to, I'd say, cooking, since this track is like giving me a lot of, it gives me the vibes of childhood. So in a good way, it's also like good memories. So it gives you that good feeling while cooking.
Yeah, it really brought me back when I heard it, because FF8 was one of the first soundtracks I ever got.
Oh,
and
nice.
I just, yeah. And I was just like, oh, yes, when I heard it again. So I could really see just relaxing and cooking with it. It makes perfect sense.
Yeah, definitely. FF8 was actually one of the first bootleg soundtracks I ever got, but I didn't realize it at the time. Because you could buy them online. I was like, oh, wow, that's a good price. Like, and I got it, and it's in this weird, like, tall box. And, you know, I didn't know. Like, there were certain brands that were, there were knockoffs. So one of these days, I really should replace it with the real one. But, yeah, there's I don't even know how many I had before I learned the brand to not buy if you want the legit ones. But I didn't know at the time. All I knew was I wanted the music.
Oh, it was pretty common back then, so.
Yeah. All right. You wanna tell our listeners about this next game, Audra?
Oh, sure. Well, Invincible Presents Adam Eve is a licensed game based off of the Invincible comic book series and animated series of the same name. And Adam Eve is a character in it. And so they made a game centered around her and some of her adventures early on in the time frame of the show. And it's a really enjoyable game. It's VN and part RPG, so there's some elements of both in it. And one of the things I absolutely adore about it is the soundtrack, which was done by Milk and Bone. And they did such a great job on... It's been kind of like a nonstop on my playlists. So I have probably heard it while cooking, and I sing along to it a lot. And I picked Vital Signs Universus theme because I actually really just enjoyed the song. It's probably one of my favorites of the soundtrack, which is saying something because I actually think it has a really good soundtrack in general. And I find it really fitting for her character because she's actually kind of like a pseudo-antagonist who they go into that there's more about her and that there's actually like a lot of depth with her storyline later on. And I just feel like it really fits and is like mysterious and ethereal and kind of just a good sing-along song. It has some catchy lyrics and the instrumentation is really well done. And I think fits for her appearances both later on in the game and earlier on in it when you really didn't know more about her. So yeah.
Okay. How much of the soundtrack is like this? Like how much is like vocal themes versus instrumental stuff?
I believe it's about half.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yeah. No, there's actually a lot of vocal tracks that I quite liked.
Okay.
Yeah, it was like before we started to record and I first listened to this as well. I did imagine that, oh, Audra probably picked this because she probably loves to sing along while cooking.
Yes. That is very true.
Yeah. While listening to this as well, I think the title of this track is also very fitting to the music it's giving, because the beatings, you can definitely hear the beating sounds in the background. So I'm pretty surprised that it actually works well with the vocals as well.
Yeah, it's that ties into her story, actually. So I really like that aspect of the instrumentation.
Let's see.
Because it really does feel like almost like a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is one of those songs that... I was going to say it's one of those weird songs, but not because I think it's a weird song, but more that I like what's going on, but I had to listen to it several times before I figured out like what I wanted to say about it. I mean, obviously, it helps, would probably help if I had played the game, but... It's very, a lot of it's very minimalistic and moody, which was my original notes. But of course, the way you've explained it, like I definitely see why now. But I really like just the kind of airy quality of the vocals with the heavier bass, and the pace is really interesting to me. Again, now I have the context for it, but I just like that it's a slower pace, and it. I had originally written down like something like it's smooth enough that like it could be background music for like skulking around in a dark alley, or chilling at home with a nice drink.
Yes.
Which is cool. Like, I always like it when music can do that, where you like you can really see it in two very, very different contexts, because it's not outright chill and it's not fully creepy or anything, but it like it can fit a bunch of different things. So yeah, it was really cool. I actually want to listen to more of it now. So thanks for bringing that one on.
Yeah, I had similar thoughts, that I think it's one of those songs that kind of can go with a lot of different moods or just different atmosphere. And used to, I liked that Audra brought, you know, songs with lyrics, something that I didn't even think about doing. But, you know, back in the day, if a song didn't have lyrics to me, like when I was younger, I wanted nothing to do with it. So instrumentals were just like not for me. So I thought that was pretty cool. And I also have a friend that's been trying to get me for a really long time to watch the Invincible animated series. And I had no idea that this game even existed. So it kind of makes me want to give the game a look and give the series a watch finally.
Yeah.
All right. Well, since we're already talking about Audra's music, Audra, you want to introduce another one?
Oh, sure. My second pick is Challenging a Queen from Stray Gods, the role-playing musical.
All right. And then after that, my first pick is a song from Haven, which is the soundtrack I mentioned earlier that tends to come up in rotation a lot in our house. So this is, and this is part of the track name, 1027, that's a timestamp, Apple Dew Stew from Haven. So let's go listen to Challenging a Queen and Apple Dew Stew.
A lost little girl, you shouldn't have come here. And I sure ain't in the mood to make new friends. Go home, little girl, the shadow's drawing near. And you all alone, we both know how this ends. Let's see how far she bends, we all know how this ends.
Thanks for the welcome, it's my first time here. You've made your feelings for me crystal clear. You play your show, I'll just go grab a beer. Didn't come here to quarrel with you. Love what you've done here, this place comes up well. You've nailed the theme, it really feels like hell. Guess you're not looking for new clientele. Just as well, that's a 5-star review. Let's try the easy way, hear what I have to
say. They get younger every year. Little big shots that drift through here think they're bringing something new through the door, and you've heard it a thousand times before. Honey, I've heard it a thousand times before. Honey, I've heard it a thousand times.
Your hosting skills could use a bit more pluck. About as subtle as a garbage truck. Thanks all for coming, but your next guest sucks. Lacks something, don't you think?
Is there nothing she can't do? She's a half-assed stand-up comic too. On the lookout for some cheap points to score. Oh honey, we've heard it a thousand times before. Idea what you're dealing with, child. Surprise, surprise, coins on your eyes. Give them to the ferryman. get it in your little head. You're spitting at the queen of the dead.
You're not my queen pea, I'm alive. You got a real life muse in this basement dive. You could use a boost. Should I play a gig? Hey, word of mouth works, pea. It'll be
they
big.
They get dumber every year.
I'm a flower picking out a stick in the ground.
A little big shot.
Come hither and consider that we shiver while you wither as you dither around.
No idea what they're all headed for. A black river, bleached bones along the shore. Let's show her something she's never seen before.
Acquire the dead, that's it, Aunt dear. Old dogs, old tricks, ghosts appear. I got a real live choir right here. Wanna hear? Deep underground, what's got into you? They're hating your thing. Old Lady Winter, we want a new spring. Say my name, say my name, say my name. It's the same shtick every year. All that blame and bitterness and fear. You forgot what they're crazy hungry for. Something they haven't seen. Seen a thousand times before.
right. Well, if my first choice was more kind of relaxing and soothing and stuff, this one's more like you want to belt it out while you're kind of yeah. similar to the two characters involved in the singing. It's Persephone, the Queen of the Dead, and she's being challenged by Grace, the new muse on the block. And it's just a really interesting song. I love their dynamic in the game, and I kind of like this early stage of their partnership kind of in it, where they really don't like each other in a lot of ways, but Grace needs her help, so she's trying to convince Persephone to listen to her. And it's just I find it catchy. It's probably one of my favorite tracks from Stray Gods, which is saying something because a lot of their tracks are pretty interesting from a musical stance. But this one, I just feel like the voice actors really nail it, and I just have a lot of fun just kind of singing both parts off and off key, but it's just a really good song.
I have a question though.
Oh, sure.
Maybe touching a bit of in the spoiler territory, but when does this track play in the game?
Oh, it's around the early stages after Grace has become the muse. She has to try to convince the other gods on this council that she didn't kill her predecessor. And so she goes to Persephone to get her help to do that, but Persephone kind of believed she did it, or at least suspected that she had. So she wants nothing to do with her. So this is like an earlier part of the game.
Oh, interesting. That explains it.
I also have a question, which somehow I didn't... This is not actually in my notes. I just thought of it now while we were talking. But, you know, one of the most novel things about this game is that you're making dialogue choices like we're used to in an RPG, except they're lyrics and they change the song. How does the soundtrack to this game work? Because the songs can play out different ways when you play.
There's actually 4 different soundtracks.
Oh.
This is from the Pantheon edition, which is basically kind of a merging of all of the different personality trait decisions that you can do for lyrics. So it's like an intermixing.
Oh, that's cool. Okay.
Yeah, the other ones are like, they have a red one that's for more of her like hostile or aggressive mm-hmm. tendencies, song lyrics, and like another one for the Mediator.
Oh, so it's categorized into different styles.
Yeah, like you can kind of tell in this song that she's at certain points, Grace is far more like aggressive with her, mm-hmm. with how she responds to Persephone, and then in other parts she's trying to be more diplomatic and...
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I guess I didn't follow it enough. I didn't realize they did multiple soundtracks, which I guess you'd have to.
Yeah.
Boy, gee, we could have a whole discussion just on that. Like, and how do they arrive at that?
And technically, I think Pantheon, it could have still varied. A lot of the songs could have varied just pretty, quite a lot, just based off of how you could play them.
Right.
So Pantheon's probably the closest to like how I played it, since I usually just went with my gut. But
yeah, yeah.
I do think there are some differences in the songs depending on.
If you're singing along to this while cooking, I would also think that Audra might have a singing talent.
Yeah, I'm sure. I have no doubt.
Aww, thank you.
Well, talking about this track as well, I can see that there's also a bit of jazz to it.
Yeah, it's the club that she's... Persephone owns a club, which is pretty much like a jazz club. So it kind of fits for a performance there.
Yeah, I haven't played the game, but that's initially the vibe that I envisioned. And I thought it would be something you'd like to listen to for nighttime cooking or dinner prep.
Yep, yeah, I could see that.
Or a nightcap, because they even mention a bunch of times beer.
That's true. Yeah, I guess if we were going to specify even the kind of meal, I could see doing this for dinner versus breakfast.
But, yeah.
You know, you can do whatever you want, really. That's what I get out of it.
That's true.
What about Brenner?
Oh, wow. You know what? That's not a meal I had actually thought about. I always think about brunch and whatever you'd call the afternoon one, but Brenner. I have not heard of Brenner. I've never thought of Brenner. Now I want it. I guess I've had it.
Yeah, if you eat dinner early?
Or late.
Or is it after?
Yeah, it'd be like between dinner and breakfast, like those times when you're like out doing something. You're like, wow. It's way after dinner, and now I'm getting home way too late, but I really need some chicken nuggets or something on the way. So I guess that's Brenner.
Oh, I see. I've learned something new today.
Well, I think Audra already knows about it since she just coined the term.
Yeah.
Well, I saw it on a TV show.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. I won't give you credit then.
Oh, okay.
One thought I had was... So my wife and I, 3 or 4 times a year, there's a dinner theater that's like 5 minutes from our house. And so we go there quite a bit where you eat good food and then they put on like a Broadway type show. And I just thought, how awesome would it be if we could go to that theater and watch a performance of an RPG? That would just be so awesome. That's the kind of vibes it gave me. I also pictured Audra like dancing around the kitchen, like, you know, flip sauteing things, flipping them in the pan, throwing stuff in on the pan, and just kind of rocking out while cooking, like flawlessly. It was
like in Disney.
That's what I pictured in my head.
I'm not sure about the flawless part, but yeah, I can see that.
I like it. All right, so for Haven, I ended up picking something specifically related to food from Haven, which wasn't really my initial plan, but when I did land on it, it still amused me, so I stuck with it. But, you know, mostly that Haven has a really energetic and diverse soundtrack, and I knew I wanted something from it, but I wanted something that was like chill and like had a nice flow to it, but still had a bit of energy. And, you know, that soundtrack varies a lot. Like, there are some really, really high energy songs, and there's some really down-tempo stuff. And I wanted something right in the middle for this one. And luckily, they have that covered, too. This is, if you haven't heard it, this is one of my favorite game soundtracks over the last several years. And we listen to it a lot around here. We've found that it works for a lot of different situations. So we may or may not have used it in the kitchen, but I think we will or could. It's one of those it's a rare soundtrack that I feel like a lot of it, I keep adding it to different playlists because I have different like mood playlists, and I have a bunch of it on like my chill playlist and some of my high energy one, and even some of it's even on a sleep playlist because just all of it works in these different formats. And I guess if I do make one of these a kitchen playlist, I'm sure a lot of it will end up on there too. And even though I haven't played the game beyond the demo, so I've definitely spent a lot more time with the soundtrack than I have with the game itself. But I do know that what it's named after, the Apple Dew Stew, is because the two leads are stuck in this place, and apple dew is like one of the only things to eat. So they're just constantly making different things with these. I assume they're meant to be like, you know, space apples. I don't know. But they just have to keep coming up with different ways to use the one ingredient they have. So it's like, oh boy, we're having apple dew again. despite that feeling of their discussions, the song is really, I find it really cheerful. It has a chillness to it, but it's also kind of upbeat, kind of bouncy, and but still weirdly soothing. I don't know. I can definitely see it as a kitchen thing, or maybe some other uses too. But basically what I learned planning this episode and picking this song here is that I realized there's now a fourth use case for me for this soundtrack, and with that being the kitchen. So don't be surprised though if we do a future episode on something like RPG music you listen to in the shower, or maybe RPG house cleaning music, because I will find a way to make Haven work for both of those too.
Similar to your notes, you pretty much summed up as well, what I wrote. And that's also what I got from this track. Like, it feels chill, but also upbeat. And it's something like you'd love to listen to when, I don't know, probably making your first cup of coffee and preparing breakfast as you start your day. And that's pretty much what I'm getting from this track. And also, I haven't also played the game, but I've listened to the soundtrack, and I'm not sure if you're familiar with Taiko. He's like another, he's an American musician as well, that he kind of give off the same vibes as the Haven soundtrack. I could probably, yeah, I could probably share it to you later. And he does music similar to this, that's like giving like the mix of ambient music with synthesizers and other instruments. So, and they just work, like they also emit like different emotions. So yeah, I could probably share that.
Yeah, that'd be great. I'm always up for more like this.
Yeah, I can kind of see this as being a good like breakfast track, or having that first cup of coffee. It's a really good, I think, like start of the day kind of track.
Because it sounds very soothing.
But there's a little energy to it too.
Yeah.
The important question is, do you have a recipe for apple dew stew?
You know, I don't. Maybe I'll come up with one, but no, not right now.
Makes me really wonder how that tastes like.
Yeah, an apple-based stew.
Is it super sweet or
or like sour?
Yeah. I'm confused.
It's just apple pie, but without the crust. You just dump apple pie in a bowl and call it stew.
Oh God, that's very sinful.
If you cook it, you get butter, apple butter.
Okay. Yeah.
Or applesauce, I guess.
Yeah. Oh man, I wonder if that's what it's meant to be. If apple dew stew is just applesauce that's hot.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you're limited on resources, you do what you can. I think I mentioned this the last time we had Haven on, but since that was a while ago, I'll mention it again just because it's a fun little fact if anyone doesn't know it or doesn't know the soundtrack. But one of my favorite little touches of the soundtrack is that if you get it digitally, although I don't know if there's even a physical one, but whatever. The album art, every track has its own album art, which I just thought was really neat. It has this, they have this neat watercolor aesthetic, like from the game's intro. And there is a main cover for the album, but every track also has its own one. It sometimes has characters, or sometimes it's just, you know, abstract colors, but I always appreciated that. Like, some real thought and effort went into the soundtrack, all the way down to individual album art, and I always like pointing that out.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that brings us to our halfway point, and Tin, I'm guessing by now you're excited to talk about some of your music.
Yes.
So, what are we starting our second half with?
My track is called Dance of 1000 Suns, and it's by Eric Brown, and it's from Sea of Stars.
Oh, I love some Sea of Stars music. And then after that, actually, it's my second track, and I'm bringing on Crimson Valley, the Nighttime Theme from Atelier Sophie. So let's go listen to Dance of 1000 Suns and Crimson Valley Night. We'll be right back.
Okay, so the first track I'm bringing in the show is something I tried to still connect it with the theme, but I'd say it's also just a good music to listen to whenever you're cooking or cleaning or whatever, you're even working, whatever you're doing at home. But to match it with the theme, that's the reason why I brought this track. The Dance of 1000 Suns is specifically a character theme in Sea of Stars. And if you haven't played the game, that particular character is like a chef. So he like prepares food and like for his friends or the entire party. So I think it was just perfect for this episode. And what I really like about his theme as well is that it sounds very positive, like in a sense, like very bouncy as well. And it really matches to his personality in the game. And yeah, he's actually my favorite character in Sea of Stars. So if you guys haven't played it, I highly suggest playing the game. And if it's still part of your backlog list, I would also suggest to I would highly suggest to listen to the soundtrack because it's really good.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah. I feel like the reception to the game is very mixed because you have people who either think it's the greatest thing ever made or
yeah,
not, or they're like it's leaning too much on nostalgia. I'm somewhere in the middle so far. I haven't finished it. Mm-hmm. I like it a lot. It's not, you know, it's not Chrono Trigger. It's not another Chrono Trigger like people want it to be, but to their credit, they never said it would be. But a lot of the ideas it brings up and the gameplay, I find a lot of fun. I if I had one issue, it's with the weird way they wrote the game and punctuated the dialogue. But I have no complaints about the visuals or the audio. The visuals are fantastic and the soundtrack is super good. Like I remember backing the game and I was really excited that they got Mitsuda on as a guest composer, but that's only because I didn't know anything about, you know, Eric Brown's music. So it's great that Mitsuda's there, but I mean, everything on here, regardless of who composed it, is really, really solid. This is definitely an early game highlight. I forget where we are. We're like many, many hours in, but I'm sure there's a lot left of the game. But we've definitely heard this one. Garl is fantastic. Before I get to my other notes, which are not as long as this rambling introduction is, I did want to point something out because, you know, we share YouTube links just to, like, you know, prepare for the show and listen to it. And I really, really love one of the comments on this video just because the most recent comment 3 days ago, as of this recording, someone had posted King X Boo. Posted, everyone says they need a friend like Garl, but no one says they need to be a friend like Garl. And I thought that was really sweet. And I very much agree with that. As far as like RPG characters who are like, you know, protagonist's best friends, like he is definitely one of the stronger ones. I adore him. But yeah, the song itself, I think is just a lot of fun. I originally started talking about how like I liked that there's this short little introduction of like these 15 seconds before it like ramps up and like adds another layer. But then I was listening and watching the timestamps as I went, and it does that every 15 seconds.
Yeah.
there's another layer of something or another shift, and it's a lot of fun. Like the journey that it takes you on musically is just very exciting. And it really is a great song for, like you said, cooking or chores or whatever you're going to do. It's like, it's very motivating. So it's a lot of fun. And just that build up and the progression of it musically is just very satisfying.
Yeah. I haven't played Sea of Stars yet, but it's very high on my backlog. So hopefully soon, but from what I have heard of the soundtrack, I really like this one in particular. This was probably honestly the song I enjoyed listening to the most of all the tracks for this episode. I got really, I know it's odd, but it gave me kind of strong like Street Fighter II like character.
Oh, yeah.
Vibes. Yeah. Yeah. Like a, yeah. I thought it would fit right in if this was like a character theme from one of the classic Street Fighters.
I could see that.
Definitely.
It really does have a bounciness to it, a catchiness.
Wow. I'd never thought of that before now. That's a cool insight. All right. Well, thank you for reminding me. I need to get back and play this game. Unfortunately, I'm in the land of Yakuza games now, so I don't know when that's going to be.
Yeah.
One day I shall play it too.
So my second song here, this one actually surprised me as well. This was not something I had in mind going into this episode. When I was trying to figure out what to bring on, Hillary actually suggested I think of something from the Atelier series, which was a great call because, you know, these games are all about crafting and there's, I almost said unlimited. There are countless songs that take place in towns and your workshops, and they have this like really fun, like bouncy feeling to a lot of them. And I'm like, well, that's perfect. Like, that's exactly what would work for this episode. You know, something that plays while you're crafting things, while your cute protagonist is stirring up her cauldron and making whatever concoction she's making. And then I got to this song on the soundtrack and completely shifted gears. So instead of going with something fun and bouncy, I found this one. I'm like, as soon as we started listening to it, it reminded us of this dish we made. I want to say last year, but who knows? Maybe it was in 2022 now. We have this great cookbook that we like called Tapas Revolution. And it's all like Spanish things. Some are actually tapas, like small things, and some are bigger dishes. But it was, in case anyone's curious, it's like chicken, grapes, red wine, and chestnuts. And I forgot the alcohol, actually. I don't know if it was, I think it was a white wine or something. And part of the recipe is you flambé it. And I realized that I've sadly not set enough food on fire in the kitchen, intentionally set it on fire. So it was a new experience. It was like, wow, I hope this works and we don't like ruin everything, but also a lot of fun. And that's what this one made me think of. You know, just if you're doing something in the kitchen, if you're setting something on fire or you got to flambe something, whether it's, you know, a cool Spanish recipe or otherwise, this is the tune for it. You know, it's got those cool drum beats and it's like, it's a little, there's little parts of it that are like sort of ominous. You're like, okay, let's hope this whole, you know, fire thing works out. it also caught me off guard. It was not something, a music direction I was planning on going, but then I remembered how fun it was to make that. And this kind of song like really fits that kind of recipe. So that's what we got.
Yeah, actually, I really like that when there are some songs we listen to and they're like a tablet or something that where you when you listen to this song it would remind you of a certain memory, and that instance with you cooking is really nice. I'd say it's like learning also a new skill in the kitchen, and that's pretty much also what I wrote in my notes, and that's also what I felt when I listened to this song. I was like thinking, Mike must be working hard on cooking something, or because it kind of gave me the vibe of like I'm cooking something in Hell's Kitchen or any other cooking competition with all the drum rhythm. So yeah, I also think the drum rhythm works in repetition, and yeah, that's pretty much what I felt while listening to this song.
Well, thank you for the compliment there that I've been working hard in the kitchen, because let me tell you, this week has not been the case. You know, we were out of town for the weekend and this has not been a good week for cooking. but it has happened in the past. So
this I'm sorry, Audrey, go ahead. Flambe yeah. song. Yeah.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah, I really tend to really like things with the heavy kind of intensive drumming. So I really dug it, and yeah, it I'm agreeing with Tim. This is like this would fit perfectly as like a montage on a Hell's Kitchen or a MasterChef. I could totally see that.
Well, I'm glad I stumbled across it then.
Yeah.
All right. Wow, this episode is just like moving right along, huh? Mm-hmm. So we got one more block and then a bonus track, of course. But, you know, we like to pretend that's a surprise at the end, even though we do it every single time. So for our quote unquote final two songs, we have one more from Jimmy and one more from Tin. So, Jimmy, what is your next song?
My second song is Life at Garrigmach Monastery. It's actually a piano arrangement. And the artist that did the arrangement's name is Purple Scala.
All right. And Tin, what's your other one?
My second track is called Farm Boy, and this is an arrangement by Shotaro Shima, and it's from Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
Oh, I've heard of that game.
It's not so famous.
No. A little indie game. All right, let's go listen to Fire Emblem Three Houses and Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, and we'll be right back.
Thank you.
Yeah, so Fire Emblem Three Houses, probably my favorite game of maybe the last decade. Spent definitely my most hours played. So this was one of those songs that, again, that I've heard so many times that it just kind of lives in my head from time to time. And I don't know, lately I've really kind of gotten into piano arrangements, especially when I'm doing like a relaxing activity, like cooking. And I think I just kind of was searching through Spotify and found some like a playlist of video game piano arrangements, and that's how I came across this. And surprised again that Fire Emblem Three Houses had not yet been represented on this podcast, so I'm glad that I got the privilege to be the first to nominate a song from that game that I love so much.
Yeah, I'm glad you did. I was super surprised by that too. Like, you know, we don't have
it's an awesome game, so
yeah, but it's like given how much like Fire Emblem Awakening was like a really big turning point for the series in terms of, you know, it could have been the last, but then that's what helps keep the series going and really popularized it out here. And I feel like Three Houses is like maybe not as vital to the series, but boy, did that game make a splash. So the fact that it was has never been on the show is very surprising to me.
Especially because the soundtrack is actually pretty good for it.
Yeah, yeah. This arrangement was great. I've listened to some of her stuff, but not as much as I should. I like that we went from setting food on fire to a very chill sound in this last block. But yeah, this one reminded me I need to listen to Purple Shala's stuff more. Actually, to encourage me to do it, I subscribed to her YouTube channel like in preparation for this, because some of her more recent stuff has been a lot of fun. So yeah, this is a really, really great arrangement with a nice lively feel to it. So I'm glad you brought it on. Obviously, I don't have the context you do with the amount of time. How much, you said it's your most played. How many hours have you had or put into it?
Over 500.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, wow.
It's insane.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've played all three paths and still go back to it from time to time. So.
Oh, wow. I've only done two.
Doesn't sound like your favorite game.
Wow. That suddenly makes my like 270 hours in Breath of the Wild, not Breath of the Wild, the other one. My 270 hours in Tears of the Kingdom seem a little smaller. Well, thank you. Thank you for finally bringing some Three Houses onto Rhythm Encounter.
It's such a really good song. It's on too. I mean, this actually reminds me so much of when I was playing it and just wandering around the monastery. And you do eat a lot there too.
I'm also a bit biased because I also love piano arrangements, so this is like an instant yes for me the moment I heard it. So, and what's so good about this arrangement is that she managed to like shift from slow parts to bouncy parts, and it's just crazy. While I was listening to it and watching the video, so overall like it sounds really pleasant, and it kind of gives you the feeling of home, I guess, or like you feel safe in a way. But then it also has a certain jive to it, which overall just makes you feel good.
Yeah,
it's a life lived kind of sentiment.
I'm always impressed when people can do this. I mean, not that any instrument is really like easy to play, you know, like I don't want to discount any other ones, but this one, and I think about it a lot with Final Fantasy 14, when you see like they do their piano concerts, and any other video you see, like it's usually, you know, Keiko that does these piano arrangements, and watching her play and doing arrangements of stuff that's like a really high energy, like battle theme and on piano. Yeah. With one instrument, really, really just incredible. I love seeing that. So I understand why you love your piano arrangement so much.
I need to listen to more of them because the ones I've heard have just been amazing.
Well, it's every to also subscribe.
All right. Should we talk about farming? Do you like farming, Tin?
Oh, I don't. Not really. That's my 300 hours of Stardew.
Only 300?
Yeah. Well, in counting, that's only just in the PC. I still have other farming games.
Okay, all right. Wait, do you play, I mean, this is really, really off topic here, but do you play Stardew anywhere besides the PC?
Oh, I did try on Switch, but I think it's because I played it first on PC. I've just gotten used to just playing it on PC.
Oh, I see. Anyway, okay. Not the farming we're here to talk about today, which is good, because if you get me started, I'm gonna get started.
Well, my second track is something that I recently... It's a song that came from something that I just recently played more than 100 hours. And I have to admit that the game also burnt me out so much, but there's this specific area which plays this specific song that really just calms me down. The title is Farm Boy, and it's the first music you're gonna hear when you go to a specific chocobo ranch, and then this one is specifically in the one that plays in Bill's ranch. And yeah, I love the new take they did for this song, this new arrangement, and the theme for this sounds very country-ish to me, and with all the strumming, and there's even whistling in the background, and trying to connect it to the theme of this episode, I just think that this is like a something you would want to listen to when you're preparing breakfast, or I don't know, or probably lunch, like anything that sounds, because it also sounds really calming to me, and it's kind of like an escape in a busy reality or something. So yeah, I don't have much into it as well, but that's just really the feeling that it gives me. Have you guys played Final Fantasy Rebirth?
I have not yet. But I want to.
I'm actually just learning that they redid Final Fantasy VII. I had no idea.
I know, they hardly ever talk about it.
But personally, actually, while listening to the entire soundtrack of the game, I prefer it over the arrangements from Remake. So the Rebirth soundtrack is really good, I'd say.
Nice. Yeah, I haven't listened to a lot of Rebirth's soundtrack yet. And no, I have not played it yet. It would probably help if I had a PS5. But this this is just a really, really nice new take on Farm Boy. I feel like this is one of those examples of something that, you know, it's a new arrangement, but it also sounds like an idealized version of the original. Because the original one had that country sound, but it was still like, it was a country sound, but still a little bit synthesized, because it was, you know, yeah. It was the beginning of that, like switching over to like CD format, and Uematsu could do more with the music, but it wasn't quite into like fully orchestrated stuff yet. Mm-hmm. And I always got the same feel from it. Like, you know, I don't care that it was like synthesized or whatever, but it sounded country. But this is, you know, this feels like a remastered version, which is what it is, of the original. Like, it has these really pronounced, like cool, like plucky strings, and, you know, good old fashioned, you know, farmland whistling. Is that a thing? I don't know. But it really does. It really does sell the idea of this, like, this ranch of chocobos, like, really well. So, like, I'm always up for new takes and instrumentation when you get arrangements or remixes. And, you know, it's cool hearing songs that we know in, like, different different formats or different versions or ways we didn't expect. But in this case, I'm glad they stuck with that, at least for the in-game version, because I think it's really important to that setting and to that vibe to stick with that country feel, but just make it sound, you know, updated or more crisp or whatever. It was really nice. It took me back, but also makes me want to play Rebirth.
Right. It feels new and
nostalgic.
At the same time. Exactly.
Yeah.
The arrangement kind of gave more life to it, I'd say. Like what you said earlier, that feels more authentic. That's kind of what I'm getting from this. So that's why I really like this new arrangement.
Yeah. That soundtrack just came out, huh? Like last week or something?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is it six or seven discs this time?
I'm not sure, but I know it was just last week.
Yeah. It's a lot of discs of music. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think seven discs.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's interesting that they keep putting them on CD. I'm so used to the 14 soundtracks being on Blu-ray, so I don't know how many CDs they would be if they were on CD. Mm-hmm. But it definitely sounds like a lot more when you say it's six or seven discs between Remake and then Final Fantasy 16 and now this one. It's just a lot of discs. Especially when you consider the original game of Final Fantasy 7 had its four discs of soundtrack. And now we have two games with like six or seven discs worth of music each.
Yeah.
Which is really impressive. All right. Well, that brings us to the end of our episode. This was very enjoyable. I enjoyed. Well, I'm just going to keep saying the word enjoy. That's really clever. I had a lot of fun listening to this, and I like that. You know, we all had slightly different ways of approaching this, of things we would like to cook to, or things you could, or things we literally have cooked to and sung along with. So. That's always what I hope for when we do episodes like this. Like sometimes we have very specific topics, like it has to be, you know, in this format. And sometimes we leave things kind of open. It's like, well, whatever, like let people pick how they want. And it always gives this combination of songs that work in different ways and people approach it in different ways. So it's always fun to me. Hopefully it's fun for everyone listening too, because you don't ever really know what you're going to, or what to expect. And in terms of unexpected things, it's also worth mentioning that several of our songs today were debuts for Rhythm Encounter. So new games that debuted here are Invincible Presents Adam Eve, Stray Gods, Atelier Sophie, somehow Fire Emblem Three Houses, and this is the first time we've had Final Fantasy VII Rebirth on as well. So thanks everyone for bringing on lots of new stuff for the show. Coming next on Rhythm Encounter in a couple weeks, we are doing another composer spotlight. It's been a little while, so we're doing one on Masashi Hamauzu. I don't know what everyone else is bringing. I know I can tell you right now that I will be bringing something from Final Fantasy 13, probably 13 too. So, but you know, he's done a lot of music for many, many games over the years. So look forward to that. And a couple weeks after that, we are doing an episode that I've been sort of sitting on and waiting for several months, because I knew at some point we were going to get a release date for the Paper Mario Thousand Year Door remake. And that's coming out pretty soon, actually. So we're doing an episode on Mario RPGs, whether that's Super Mario RPG or Paper Mario or Mario and Luigi, like all of that is fair game. So those are our next two episodes. If you have thoughts on this episode, if you have topic ideas or just any other feedback you want to share, you can email us at music@rpgfan.com. That's also goes to me, so that's the best way to reach me for the show. If people want to reach out to you, Audra, what's the best way to do it?
Oh, email is the best way. AudraB@rpgfan.com.
All right. And Tin?
Oh, you can also reach me through email now, and it's simply tin@rpgfan.com.
And Jimmy?
I'm usually hanging around the RPG Fan Discord. I'm Turner-based Jim on there.
All right. If you enjoyed Rhythm Encounter, remember that RPG Fan also has two other podcasts. Retro Encounter is definitely our biggest one. They post every week on Thursdays. If you're listening to this when it came out, Retro Encounter just did an episode on Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. That was a spoiler cast, so I am absolutely not listening to that yet. And if you want to be spoiled or at least have played the game, then that's the episode for you. And then completely shifting gears from a 2024 release, after that, Retro is doing a two-part game journal on Ark the Lad. And for those counting, Ark the Lad came out in 1995, so it even predates the original Final Fantasy VII. But I know all the panelists who wanted to do that episode were really excited, so I think that's going to be a fun one to revisit. You can also check out RPG Fans Random Encounter. That posts every other Monday. I know last week Random Encounter did an episode about the Fallout TV show. We've actually been posting a lot of Fallout stuff on RPG Fan. We've been re-reviewing the older games. Jono reviewed the TV show. We did a podcast. There was a Retro Encounter about Fallout. So if you're into Fallout, new or old, be sure to check out rpgfan.com because we've been posting a lot of Fallout stuff. You can also find RPG Fan on most social media. You'll find us on Facebook, Instagram, Threads, Twitter, Twitch at rpgfan.com. We're also on YouTube. We have a Discord. All of these links are in our show notes. And of course, our website is rpgfan.com. And beyond all the social media and our website, we also have a shop. So we have merch in there. So you can get RPG Fan branded shirts and mugs and stuff like that. And we also have our first book, which is in collaboration with Hyperplay RPG. We released a book of just under 300 pages of many of our review cards that you'll see on Instagram and social media. That's been a really fun project that's been available for the last few months. So if you don't have a copy, pick it up. It makes a great gift, whether that's for you or someone else. We're going to keep encouraging people to buy it because it's been doing well, but could be doing better. And the better it does, the more opportunities we have to do a volume 2 with even more reviews. And I would love to do that sometime this year. So go check it out. You can find that at rpgfan.com/shop. That'll take you to our shop for merch or the book. If you enjoy this episode, you can review us. We would actually appreciate if you reviewed us or subscribed on Apple Podcasts or wherever it is you listen. Reviews and subscriptions really, really help get the word out and help more people find the show. So we would love it if you could do that, if you enjoyed it. And we're going to close out today with a bonus song. I sort of executive decisioned this because I really wanted to do this. In a recent episode of Rhythm Encounter, Solosi hosted it. Solosi hosts Retro Encounter. And he hosted our episode of Rhythm about remasters. And somewhere in the discussion there, when he was talking about this episode, the cooking episode, he kind of casually mentioned Gogo's theme from Final Fantasy VI and said that, you know, he could hear it as like sort of the theme song for something like an Italian restaurant or maybe even a pizzeria. And that has been in my head since I listened to and edited that episode. So that is our bonus song for today. Just because that connection is something I never would have thought of. But as soon as he said that, I went and listened, and I can completely hear it. So we are going to close out with Gogo's theme. It's specifically the Pixel Remaster version of Final Fantasy VI. So thanks, everyone, for listening. Audra and Tin and Jimmy, thank you for being here. This was a lot of fun.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. All right. We're going to leave you with Gogo's theme, and we will see you in a couple weeks. a weird track from Final Fantasy VIII that we've never had on before.
When I saw the track list as well, I was like, was this never ever played on rhythm?
I had to look it up because I thought it was like, okay, well, I always tell people, like, at this point, if it's before episode 51, you can bring it. So obviously it was on an earlier episode, but nope.
Yeah, I thought the same thing when it popped into my head. I'm like, well, surely, I mean, I would love to use this, but surely it's already been on here. And I looked and no, it wasn't.
And that's when I learned that Jimmy refers to himself as Shirley.
Oh,
I do. Yes, indeed.
Whoever's editing this, please don't use that as an outtake. That was the worst joke I've ever made.